You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna turn to next? Tell me. People, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do, because it's going to be a good weekend, and I hope it's going to be a good weekend for you. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it isn't, you will get it done anyway. I know you will. But if you don't have to, but even whatever you do, when you leave the confines of your humble abode, when you leave your house, you are safe. You are masked up. Ain't touching nothing. You're keeping your social distance because coronavirus is spiking across the country. And sadly, Milwaukee, Wisconsin is where I'm from, and Wisconsin is spiking big time. It's been in the news the last few days. The hospitals are overrun, hardly any beds and so forth. And of course, Trump has COVID, him and his wife, and one of these assistants has COVID. And, for those who were deniers, it's always interesting. In fact, there's been some deniers who have died. There's been some deniers who early. I mean, this thing has been with us now since March. February, in fact. I remember another minister. He didn't believe it. And still there's some who thinks it's a hoax, thinks it's, some kind of fallacy and some kind of fairy tale, and can't deny the numbers. Like I said, I try to bring out information about how things happen and looking at the sides of how it happens and what happens with us, conspiracies, controversies, whatever, because when you live in a society like this, built on lies upon lies, believe me, and so at a point I said, no, I'm not going to talk about how maybe the virus got here. I'm not going to talk about Wuhan or 5G or laboratories or anything like that, bats. I'm going to talk about the fact that it is here and people are dying. When you know people personally, when you know that they were fine days ago and now they have died, it's very tough. It's tough when I found out about my brother, Lawrence Riley, who had suffered heart attack. He had truly had underlying problems, known him since high school, fire department. Out in the clubs, he tended bar and so forth. Played ball, good brother. Lenny Wells, known him for many years, came to Milwaukee after retiring from the Milwaukee Police Department. He was the
police captain and president of their president of the Black Police Officers Association, the League of Martin. Well, at the same time, I was the president of the Black Firefighters Association, and we collaborated on some few things. So know him real well. And he left, moved to Mississippi, came back to Milwaukee, him and his wife, to check on some properties. He got sick. Both of those brothers died within days of being admitted and being intubated, being with an induced coma to be intubated. Know a few others. Know a couple of people that I say I know. I don't know them, but I know their relatives. Let me put it that way. But, you know, when they said, yeah, they died of COVID. They got sick. And then, of course, there's Conrad, who I knew personally, dearly. Conrad World. When I heard he had the COVID, I said, Conrad is going to beat that. He's a tough dude. Wow. Didn't get a chance to finish his book. Didn't get a chance to see the track. He was deeply into track, and he was big on building that that track and field for Chicago area residents, particularly our people. In fact, I want to go see it when I get that way, hopefully soon. Haven't been that way in a long time, in over a year. It's the longest stretch I haven't been to Milwaukee in quite some time. Let me get together here. So we got a number of things to talk about, aside from what I'm saying right here, right now. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and then the drop down will be African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled African Perspectives. Yeah. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey every first and third Mondays. Tuesdays, 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. I know he's have a good program tonight. He always does. Time for an Awakening tonight at 8 p.m. Saturday at 4 p.m. from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host Lawana Chambers. At 7 from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council, hosted by Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. I'm on the website right now, and it's beautiful. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Taihimba, who has taken many of our people, over 400 of our people, to the motherland. Everything on the website that you need, and currently on the website are the tours that he's going to have upcoming. He still has one for next month, November 24 to 30, if I'm not sure about it. November 24 to 30, going to Tanzania, $3,700. Ghana, at the end of the year, December 24th through January 5th, 2021, $3,700 to Ghana. Next year, April 2nd to April 12th, 2021, $3,500 going to Senegal and Gambia, Gambe Belongo. Kunta Kinte. And then May 24th to June 2nd, 2021, $3,700. Ghana. And then South Africa, November 19th to the 29th, 2021, also $3,700. All those, you can, one of them, any one of them, all of them, whatever it is, put $400 down, pay on it, and make it happen. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Renoko Rashidi, he has two trips coming up, and he has one in January 21st to February 4th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. I mean, the beautiful pictures that he has is just enticing. Uganda and Rwanda, $4,200. He also has a trip going to Kemet, August 1st to August 14th, August 1st to August 14th, 2021. That's Renoko Rashidi. Habashah Incorporated. Go to habashahincorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. They are doing the work. They have done the work. Habashahincorporated.org. The Kashi Project, the buildings are up. They're finishing the project off. It's supposed to be done at this time. On a flyer they have from that I got way last year, it says, when constructed, Kashi will provide a sacred space for researching the ancient technologies. Kashi will also host individuals and groups for African cultural exchange. Its grand opening is October 2020. Kashi will be a destination for African people in the diaspora to reconnect and reclaim their legacy, and will serve as a transitional space for those seeking to return to the motherland, to Africa. And they're constantly looking for donations like everybody else. All right. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go to the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go see my good friend Mama Nia. She has, if she doesn't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, she'll get it. But give her a call first. 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. But if you're in the Greenbrier Mall, stop by. Just beautiful postcards and greeting cards and t-shirts and figurines, all kinds of good stuff. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That is east of Atlanta. Somewhere east of Atlanta. And give Brother Kazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. They also have the red, black, and green shoes, the Asgaz shoes, if you're looking for them. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Give them a call at Wadada's at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right there on Ralph David Abernathy. Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast last night at 9 p.m. of Us Lifting Us on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Dare to win. Us Lifting Us. Or you can give a call. The program is at 9 from 9 to 10. Every Thursday night from 9 to 10. When you can call the number to either listen or you can give your perspective at 929-477-2789. That's 929. 477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who is doing an outstanding job. She sent me some pictures just recently. Man, I tell you, just doing it. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, .org, sanjay-haiti.org, and check them out. And please, if it's on your heart, please support them. They need donations, just like everything else I'm mentioning here. Akhavan Institute, make your check of money order out to Akhavan Institute, because Baba Barudi and Mama Barudi, Mama Ya Barudi, are doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors at Akhavan Institute. P.O. Box 10786. Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App, go to put the dollar sign in on Cash App, YAA, the letter M, Baruti, BRUTI, and make your donations. Make your donations. What should I do first? I'm doing the NEA Say Sim. You know, I can't go wrong with the NEA Say Sim, that's for sure. Can't go wrong. October 1st. The best way to direct the future is, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Divine Bradley. Can you imagine a world where Ma'at is the norm? Where it is spoken and enacted by Africans towards each other and those deserving of our respect with our ancestors' precision and reverence? Can you imagine us being brought back in line with honorable traditions where love is truly reciprocal and altruistic? Can you imagine a world where being spiritual is a way of life, not a silly masquerade? Can you imagine a people who again form a timeless circle without rupture? Can you imagine a people who act as if being civil to each other defines them as a civilization? Can you imagine a time and place without predators, without prey, where generosity and kindness are not taken for weakness, and where selfishness and meanness are not prized aspirations? In this time and place, our sisters shed more tears of joy than pain, and our brothers practice for peace, not war. Here, our righteous rage has been satisfied, and war against Africans is never uttered for fear of the terror it would unleash on a fool. Can you imagine a world where truth is common and lies disbelieved because of their source, where African people can again be whole? If it is to happen, we will have to do it. Nothing which brought us to this nadir will change on its own. Things will only change brought the will and the force of those who recognize evil in its gluttonous malevolence, jealous and intent, who firmly believe in the righteousness of their cause. Affirm, I'm imagining an African world into reality. Affirm, I'm imagining an African world into reality. Can you imagine? Wow. Just yesterday, or day before, in Milwaukee, there was some shootings just like if it was Chicago. It's not, I hate to disparage Chicago, but I mean, shooting all around the city. In fact, at a funeral, there was a shooting at the funeral, shooting people on the outside of the funeral. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine? If you can imagine and you want it to be, we have to do it. I say. October 2nd, African women were never singled out for marginalization, subjugation, and alienation. The role of the woman in the family is not subordinate, but rather complementary to that of the man. Unlike Europeans, Africans regard women as indispensable to the home and to the society. Obejanju. The removal of power from European women by European men was accomplished both by destroying the ideological and legal foundations of equality in African society and through bringing their own women even further to their knees. Africa's was where the Greek women began to look to for their models of womanhood. The Greek offensive against females, although more personal, was indefinitely more severe and violent. But even this assault on Urugu females did not come close to their murder, rape, and terrorization during the infamous Inquisition. Generations of genocide left its imprint deeply on their psyche. Imagine mothers preparing their sons to rape and ravage their daughters, and daughters who had to embrace powerlessness. No other people went through a phase where they raped and killed as many of their own women as possible.
And there is no doubt that the millions raped and sexually tortured served and perverted pleasure of European males. The pattern of rape followed that established by the very gods they said they had created in their world. European gods raped their goddesses. So why would a mortal European man not rape mortal females? Like father, like son. Affirm, I honor African women. Affirm, I honor African women. October 3rd. A person who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Ilhaj Malik El Shabazz. Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X. The first question in a warrior, in a woman's warrior's mind about any man she studies is the potential strength and power. Is he persistent? Is he resilient? Does he confront challenges with intrepidation? Is his vision clear, uncluttered by fantasy? Is it ordered by our historical aphrasion? The answer for her, since she cannot see into his future, is that what he has done and is doing now relevant to in preparation for what he says he intends to do. It comes down to the question of whether he has stood and is still standing for something of worth. Do not be confused about the importance in the mind about relationships between perceived potential and choice of mate. I have long reflected on the wisdom of an elder sister's observation that a man chases a woman until she catches him. I repeat, a man chases a woman until she catches him. Affirm, I stand for everything African. Affirm, I stand for everything African. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Why you do that to me, man? Now I got to go back there and find it again. I tell you. But that's okay. That's okay. I got you. Kwame Nkrumah said at the speech in 1961, after in 1957, he was the first leader of Ghana, formerly called the Gold Coast because of all the gold that was there, that particularly the British was taking out. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or superstition, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. The Speech of Freedom in 1961. Years later, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Damn, is he right? To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to liberate the effect that the European has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so that we can visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans.
This is demanded by an African-centered view because we are an African people. And the future to which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani. We must learn, we must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africans' books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Lester Velt Middleton. Remember I mentioned that Lester Velt Middleton, you can see many of the of his interviews with our great classic scholars and historians on YouTube. Lester Velt Middleton with Dr. Asa Hillier, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Dr. Jokanen. Beautiful. Today is October 2nd. On this day was born, October 2nd, 1800, Nat Turner, in Southampton County, Virginia. He died November 11th, 1931. He was 31 years old. He died in Jerusalem, Virginia. I think that's deep and kind of apropos, don't you? Jerusalem, Virginia, being a person of the book and a minister to brothers and sisters. Have you seen Birth of a Nation? Then that, Nat Turner, you know that he was going around laying scripture down through the Negro Bible, making people docile and understanding that you just got to, obey your masters, and you'll get yours in the by and by. He was starting to feel, he kept looking around and seeing all the contradictions till he just couldn't take it no more. August 23rd of 1831. Yep. He said, this is it. The insurrections began. He killed between 50 and 5 and 60 people. Him and the brothers and whoever else joined him. And of course, he eventually was hung and dismembered. And man, when Caucasians, when they get mad at your ass and they want to seek revenge on you, they just do heinous stuff. But I just read to you what they've done to each other. That's what I'm saying. The Nyasasim lets you know. And all of the things that happen with us lets you know what's happening, who we are, what we've gone through. The Nyasasim is deep. Nat Turner. Got a few things I want to play for you, of course, and I'll be playing this consistently because of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. This is October 15th through the 19th. We'll be having an online, all things are virtual now, conference of brothers and sisters who are preparing for the ultimate next year, the Pan-African Conference. I'm not sure where it's going to be, if it's going to be in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia or Ghana, whatever. But of course, I will definitely plan to be there. I definitely do. I definitely plan to be there.
We have a buying power. We have a buying power of 1.
What is up with my
power of $1.2 trillion? But what are we doing with it? The Regional Coordinating Committee for the Pan-African Federalist Movement in North America invites you to the North American Pan-African Federalist Convention. This year's theme is African Political Unity for Sovereignty and Upliftment. So join us as we take action and prepare for the Global Pan-African Conference live October 15th to 19th via Zoom. Register now at eventbrite.com/Pan-African Federalist Convention.
And I hope that you will attend the Pan-African Convention. Of course, will be highlighted with some great work that we plan to do as it relates to, man, okay. Here's another piece I'm going to play for you, sent by Brother Mwalimu Mstada, the chairperson of the North American, the Pan-African First Movement of North America. And that's who's putting this on, so.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa. And a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with, is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Ashe, it is the time. Right now. That's why Africa must unite now. I know everything we talk about is in the future. The time to plan for the future is right now. Everybody else is. And they're on the continent. Last week on the Dr. Mumbi show, coming out of Kenya, talked about the number of military bases that are on the continent of Africa. The only way they'll be gone, the only way all those others will be gone, is through the unification of African people, dropping all the boundaries, dropping all the... I'm not saying you can't be a Cameroonian or Nigerian or a Kenyan or a Zimbabwean, whatever it is, you can be that. But number one, you must be African. That is first and foremost. Not that you're American, no. African. Not that you're British, no. African and French, no. African. And are willing to, if you have the ability and the expertise, be willing to come home and help. Africa needs infrastructure. That piece I just played to you told you how much wealth is in Africa. That every, as I always say with this end of this program, Dr. John Henry Clark's quote, Africa has everything that everybody thinks they need, think they can't do without, and they shown the hell don't want to pay for. I'm saying to us, that is ours. That is our future. That's why, no, sister asked me about voting, and so, no, I'm not going to vote.
And I know we did a program this past Wednesday with my good friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah, and we talked about voting and the need to vote and so forth. And even back in the days when I was at the NAACP pushing and promoting voting, I even worked the polls when Barack ran for president. But no, I'm not a proponent of voting. Yeah, I might vote on a local issue, but I would not vote for any of these Caucasians, and not in this system. That's not important. That's not important for me, this system. It has shown itself. In fact, we're going to talk about what Donald Trump is proposing in the second hour. But it has shown itself incapable, unwilling to be just and honest and righteous and fair and any other damn word I might want to use. It's incapable of it. It can't do it. And it never has. And it never will. We keep thinking that somehow we can legislate this. We can vote this away. We can appeal to them. They're moral. They have no morality. They're amoral. They don't give a damn. No, it is not here. The Exodus in the Bible did not happen. The Exodus in the Bible did not happen. There were no Hebrews by the multitudes in ancient Kemet building any damn thing. I know for those biblical scholars, those theologians, although it was the theologians and scholars who admitted after research that it did not happen. But for those who want to cling to those stories, you know, one of them will say, well, yeah, you know, Pharaoh, God kept hardening his heart. And then Pharaoh got so mad. And then when it actually did happen, you know, because usually they write everything down. They etch it in papyrus. They etch it in stone. But he was so embarrassed about what had happened that he decided, no, I'm just going to, you know, I even mentioned that. Now, understand something. They have tried to erase people to try to chip you out of, you know, your likeness off a stone. He tried to do that to Queen Hatshepsut, you know, Queen Hatshepsut. For 21 years, she was Pharaoh. She even dressed as a man and put the false beard on. No, they've documented. They've documented. That's why I'm saying here in Kemet, you have the people. You can see them. There are mummies of them. There is inscriptions of them. But all the people in the Bible, all the 12 disciples, they ain't a damn marker no damn where. They ain't a marker no damn where. No, the Exodus did not happen, but that's what we need. We need an Exodus. We need to go home in the Caribbean, in Central and South America. More Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria, and we are catching hell there because the leadership there, the fascist leadership there, is even to the right of Trump. Bolsonaro, who's openly killing African people. No, it didn't happen, but it must happen. We must return. So I can care less than a rat's ass about voting and this process and who wins, Trump, Biden, Kamala Harris, although I must admit I'm looking forward to the debate between Kamala Harris and Pence. I am, for some reason. I'm not going to watch any of the other stuff, but for some reason I'm looking forward to it. Let me take a caller before we go to the top of the hour. 646-646, good afternoon, or good morning still. 646. Okay. Maybe they'll call back later. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that debate. But anyway, what I'm really looking forward to is African people getting our act together. That's why I'm looking at the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Who knows? I mean, something somewhere somehow has to happen for us. Or, 'cause to me, this cannot be Africans' destiny to be under the foot of Europeans, under the foot of Chinese, under the foot of everybody else. There has to be some Africans who understand and are willing to take a step back and come together, close ranks, pull resources, and move in a direction and in lockstep and in harmony with each other. There has to be. I know, I pray for it. I'm willing to work for it. I'm willing to put more energy into making that happen than any damn thing here or anywhere else except on the continent of Africa. It is the only place where we can truly be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. Where we truly can be Pan-Africanist, where we truly can be united. When I read the Inye Sesim, I mean, you know, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking about, as Baba Baruti has his narratives and even the quotes by various people, it keeps me bringing it home to Africa, not here. Oh, when I read it sometimes, yes, I understand what they're saying about Europeans. The evilness of Europeans, the demented-ness, the selfishness, the greediness, the hatefulness, the hatred of Europeans. When they asked little girls, why do they hate us so much? Used to be a saying, they hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because they can't, you know. 646-646, good morning.
Well, Brother Oshi, what's happening, my brother? I see you having some good words and talking about the white man this morning. What could be better than that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like maybe the head white man may kneel over a quote. You know, I mean, hey man, the Sky Daddy sometimes got to bring his trash home.
Yeah.
He can't just leave the trash on the planet for everybody to, you know, have to suffer from. So, yeah. You know, maybe, the Sky Daddy a calling card well, or the ancestors yeah. Is the same. You know, could you do something for us? But hey, listen, once this devil's gone, it'll just be another devil coming his place.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it,
well, the problem for us, though, but see, the problem for us, Jay, is yes, that's true. But do we really have to deal with it? No, we don't. Our problem is that because we believe that we do. We believe somehow that this is just as much ours as it is theirs, and we have every much as right to it as they do. And so, therefore, we want to try our best to make them, because they control it. It is theirs, not ours. But make them share it with us and let them be nice about it.
And let us... you know the new slogan is, we built this place. You've heard that slogan about we built this place. So, I mean, you just said it all. We want to be a part of a system that really doesn't want us,
yeah.
That really has no use for us, and basically we'll do anything to have acceptance from the daddy.
Yeah.
It's like a child that you ignore when they acting up or whatever, and they do whatever they can to get back into your good graces, but never change their behavior.
Yep.
So you make the choice, do you deal with them or do you go upside that head? It's a conflicting thing.
My
motto has always been to, if going upside that head don't work, I just leave you alone. Because
That's it, Jay. Let's leave them alone.
You got to go upside their head once or twice.
Let's leave them
alone.
That's
our problem.
You know,
Nat Turner did it.
Yeah. And today's his birthday. Today's Nat Turner's birthday.
That's why I mentioned his name.
That's right. The spirit of Nat Turner.
The point is, you know, after you go upside that head a couple of times and you see that it ain't working, an intelligent person just leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
They go on about their businesses and let you do your thing. You don't bother me, I don't bother you, but I'm keeping it moving. The Negro just hasn't gotten to that point, because if we had, Africa would not be what it is today. We would be here, if we were still here, separated in a sense from these clowns and just handling our business. But no, every time we turn around, we trying to solve his damn problems, integrate into his system, and in return, get nothing in return. Because I don't know if you really noticing, and if people are really noticing, the type of despair that people are facing right now in this country is not being told.
Oh, it's deep.
I was reading a tweet on, I think it was Wednesday, by this TV host that, in essence, is a financial guru. She was a Wall Street person. Stephanie Rowe, before she got into media. And on her Twitter page, she asked the question about how people were doing under this crisis. Man, let me tell you something. She had over 500,000 replies, man. And the majority of the ones that I read, people doing bad, Oshi.
I know. Of course they
are. People doing bad.
Of course they are.
You got people that are facing foreclosures.
Yes. Business have closed.
Jobs.
Yes, many
collect early retirement, Social Security, all that. But this was the one that really got me, was this woman, 62 years old, and her husband, 65 years old, lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now they said they got to collect Social Security. Okay, cool. You'll survive. I mean, beautiful day, whatever. But this was the kicker. She said the majority of her Social Security is going to go for paying off student loans. Mm. 65 years old, you still paying off student loans. And she's saying she's not going to be able to pay off the student loans in her lifetime. And that's if the cracker lives another 10 years.
Yeah.
But so think about how many of our people who have went out there and gotten all of this educational debt to serve the master.
Yeah.
And look at how now
especially in the last 20 years when they had all those fake universities pop up all around the country of people, and it was easy for you to get into those, and they, of course, you know. But listen, I'm gonna take a break.
Let me just leave you with this one last thing, OC. You know how they were talking about Joe Biden and the crime bill and all of that?
Right.
Let me tell you what he really did to hurt black people. He was one of the backers of the bankruptcy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? We don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was part of that whole thing where you couldn't write the student loans off through bankruptcy. Oh, he's a dangerous man, boy.
Well, I mean, he's no more dangerous than the cat in there now. It's just one Caucasian or the other. Once again, Jay, I don't even give a damn about Trump, Biden, or anybody else that they could put up there, you know?
I am hoping, honestly, that the Sky Daddy do come and take him, though. I'm not going to lie about that. I want the Sky Daddy to come take him in like 6 or 7 days after the bastards suffer for 3 of them.
Yeah, I hear
you. That's my wish.
It ain't happening. But listen to this. There's a t-shirt just came out because of Trump.
signal to the right-wing reactionary groups, paramilitary groups, the so-called Proud Boys and so forth, that their T-shirt came out. Because, you know, he said, what do you want me to say? Stand back and stand by. And, of course, stand by to anybody means just chill out. I'll, you know, you stand by. When I give you the directive, when I give you the order, then you attack, you know. And,
right.
And of course, he was saying something to that effect a few months ago because he felt that it was just going to be so bad that, hey, you know, we're not going to take this and we're going to, you know, whatever. So anyway, there's a T-shirt out now that says, don't let stand back and stand by get your ass whooped. We are not our ancestors. I hate this. Brothers and sisters, stop this shit. We are our ancestors. Just because, see, I understand what they're saying here, Jane. I think you do too. That there was a perception that our ancestors were weak and meek and mild and just rolled over. No, our ancestors fought. That's why I keep saying we were not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. A lot of times we capitulated, we kind of acquiesced, we kind of went along because we understood we want to live and get up out of this. But yes, brothers and sisters, we are our ancestors. And for African people, there's a cycle of what we have been, what we are, and what we still can become. So when I see
what we're supposed to be.
Exactly, what we're supposed to be. I say, Jack, I agree. Let me go ahead and go to this break. And hopefully you'll be back with me on the other side. I'm gonna talk about
you. Hey, Oshie, you know I will be back with you. Because anytime you can talk about the cracker, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I'm gonna be talking about the cracker big time in the next half. Okay, talk to you in a minute.
All right,
brother. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Well, those cars never seem to stop. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Car Wash, Rolls Royce, one of the best soundtracks. In fact, if you got a soundtrack that you like that was really good for you, text me at 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. Text me, and I'll see if I can find it and put it on one of these half, at the half program, you know, at the top of the hour program. Yeah, Car Wash, I got Claudine, a few others I'm going to be playing. I like some good soundtracks. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, and then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays from 7 to 9, after 7 with host Shiny B. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers, followed by at 7 from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. Yeah, I tell you. That's right, Brother Kwaku. Ball of confusion. I just mentioned, and I want to mention it again, I just mentioned as Jay was going off about the t-shirt that you see going around. Now, another one came around again, you know, don't let your president get your ass whooped. You know, we are not our ancestors. And I wish they wouldn't put that on that shirt, you know, because we are our ancestors, you know. And the new one is, you know, because, you know, Trump gave a dog whistle, or as Kamala Harris said,
a dog whistle that was broadcast by a bullhorn to the alt-right and militias, particularly the Proud Boys, I guess, to stand back and stand by. You know, so it says, don't let stand back and stand by get your ass whooped. We are not our ancestors. I hate that. I mean, I like that part, but brothers and sisters, we are our ancestors. And we need to respect that. We need to respect that. There's a, you know, Donald Trump wants to, and you've probably seen it, he talked about not supporting the Project 1619, not supporting anti-racism or racism. In fact, he says anti-racism is racism, you know, and talking about all the things about this country and how bad it is, and it is, what it has done and it has, all the truth of it. So they don't want to, they want to continue to teach lies, perpetuate. So he comes up with this patriotic education. Trump wants patriotic education to replace anti-racism teachings. Trump claimed that schools are teaching students hateful lies about this country. He said he would take serious steps to restore patriotic education. Trump also said he would continue to oppose efforts of raising awareness about racial inequalities. He would oppose that. While speaking at the White House during what was described as a conference on American history, here it is. you know, you scroll down on something, especially something that's been on your screen a while, it'll just move itself. No reason, just something else came up. While speaking at the White House during a conference described as a conference on American history, Trump said he's soon planning to approve an executive order that would create a national commission to support patriotic education, known as the 1776 Commission. Trump added that he would set aside funds to establish this patriotic curriculum for schools. Our youth will be taught to love America and with all their heart and all their souls. That's what Trump said. With all their heart and all their souls. However, White House didn't reveal when Trump would approve the order. Trump considers the framing of history around race a toxic propaganda and a form of child abuse in the truest sense of the words. According to Trump, the concept of critical race theory, is founded on the idea that the law and legal institutions are inherently racist. Here they are. Trump also claimed that Democrats are advocating for education that makes learners ashamed of America's history. And you should be. It's an ugly, sordid history. Trump has been fighting against anti-racism education, refuting claims that the nation has a problem with racial inequality. Yeah, it always has. And you know what, brothers and sisters? It always will. I wish we would understand that. Recently, when Trump was asked about America's history of racial injustice, he said, I hope there's not a race problem, and went on to talk about how black voters will support him in the polls. This man is truly delusional, truly, seriously delusional. At the beginning of the month, the Office of Management and Budget gave a directive that prohibits departments from funding diversity training using federal funds. Diversity training covers teaching about critical race theory and Caucasian privilege. Trump has also threatened to cut funding for schools that teach the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project is a Times Magazine initiative that focuses on the consequences of captivity and the contributions of American Africans at the very center of the story. We'll tell ourselves about who and what we are as a country. Nah, he don't want that. He don't want that to happen. You know? Yeah, he don't want that. So, Yeah. A good friend of mine, Brother Howard, for the Brother Mancuso, as he was called back in the days when he was, you know, part of the 60s. In fact, Conrad used to ask about him, you know. And first he asked about him, gave me an African name. I didn't know his African name, you know. Dr. Howard Fuller. He came back to Milwaukee. He helped establish Malcolm X College in North Carolina. Was it North Carolina? I believe it was, or South Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, he was a real revolutionary brother, and he came back to Milwaukee. Almost like when he came back, an incident happened where him and another brother became out front, and because of a death by police fighting for justice for Ernie Lacy. And he was out in the forefront of it. And then, of course, the educator that he was, or that he is, he became superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools and a lot of other things. Done some good things, you know. But they're talking about what Trump is proposing. Let's give a listen, okay?
Trump is pushing for a more patriotic curriculum in schools, saying students are being deceived.
But a local black educator says this could not be further from the truth. Sean Gallagher spoke with her about teaching the role racism has played in building the U.S.
The Black Educators Caucus of Milwaukee says any attempts by President Trump or others to create a quote-unquote pro-American curriculum only further devalues the life of African-American students. Earlier this month, President Trump signed an executive order pushing for what he called a more patriotic education. It's called the 1776 Commission.
Those actions are all geared towards what I said earlier in terms of him saying to white people that if y'all ain't careful, all of a sudden, America ain't going to be the white country that it was founded to be. That is at the foundation of this.
Dr. Howard Fuller is a former Milwaukee Public Schools superintendent. He thinks this commission is a political ploy to invigorate the president's base. Fuller says the truth about the role African Americans played in building this country should be told.
When black people first came here, they did not come here as slaves. Black people came as indentured servants. Just like white people who were brought here. The decision was made later on to enslave us. And it was essentially an economic decision because slavery became one of the critical economic foundations for the development of this country.
It's just another opportunity for the black experience in America to be erased.
Angela Harris is the chairwoman for the Black Educators Caucus. She says her teaching will continue to be inclusive of all views, including African Americans, which she says goes against what the president is saying.
I just ultimately feel like he's trying to roll America back to a time where folks were not taught the correct history, taught historically accurate history, and he's trying to uphold something that I think desperately needs to be changed.
The problem is that we're presenting kids with a very negative view of American history. We're presenting kids with a story that, while racism is absolutely a part of American history that we need to talk about and consider, it's not the sole story of America.
Will Flanders works for the conservative advocacy group Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He agrees with the president's commission, saying current curricula focuses too heavily on the negatives in the country's history.
We don't really get the good side of what happened here, the miracle of democracy, the wisdom of capitalist systems and things of that nature that do play an important role in how we've gotten to where we are today.
But Angela Harris says it's no different than talking about the Holocaust in World War II. She says we can all learn more from mistakes than success.
Because of that, it's very rare that you see educational experiences that center the lives of black and brown children. And so that's why it's so important to really begin to teach historically accurate truth.
Milwaukee Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Keith Posley was not available for an interview, but said this about the 1776 Commission. At this time, there are no plans for MPS to implement or consider any curriculum from the 1776 Commission. In Milwaukee, Sean Gallagher, TMJ4 News.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. I tell you. You know, and this commission that he's putting, that he's bringing forth, this 1776 commission, with its purpose, of course, is to talk about all the good things and just downplay everything. You know, in fact, Texas wrote a lot of the history books, a lot of the books that are used across this country, particularly in elementary school. And some of those books, the history from, we all know from the time that we were young, those books were, you know, was a fallacy. Those books truly did not tell the truth, and they still don't. But now they're starting to do the same thing they did back 30, 40, 50 years ago. In fact, they had that we were immigrants. That's why Ben Carson said that we were immigrants, that we immigrated here like the Europeans did, you know. So they want to continue with these false narratives, of course, because the truth is ugly and it hurts. And they can't handle the truth. That's why they suffer from what is called Caucasian or European or white fragility. White fragility. They don't want the truth. No, it ain't lies that we're telling. We're exposing the ugly side of the taking of this land and the removal of indigenous people and the enslavement of African people and all the other ugly things that this society has done, and not just to people outside of themselves, to even other Caucasians. No, this country has a horrible, and granted, you can talk about some highlights that these folks have had because what they have always done, because they have the ability to do it because they are in control, so they can do what they want. If you're as old as me, then you know when you went to school, the only persons that you learned about in school were Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. You didn't talk about nobody resisting. You didn't learn about Frederick Douglass, that Frederick Douglass took the whip from the so-called slave driver and whipped his ass and knew that if he didn't get up out of there, they were going to kill him. So he headed up to Maryland, left Maryland and headed up to Massachusetts. No, you didn't hear about it. You didn't hear about Harriet Tubman and what she did. The number of people that she helped lead, supposedly over 300, and she said, I could have freed 300 more if they understood that they were in captivity, that they were enslaved. No, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear about Ida B. Wells and her fight during the lynchings that were going on and during hardcore Jim Crow and segregation. You didn't hear about that. So that's what he wants to return to. He said, we want to turn to the America and glorify America with all your heart and all your soul. You know? Well, brothers and sisters, that's why I'm saying to us, that's why I push for us to understand that we got to get up out of here. There is no changing this Caucasian. There is no trying to have him sympathize, have them recognize, have them understand the suffering that they have inflicted upon other human beings. They don't give a damn. As they like to say, it's just a means to an end. So what? And then refuse, while they would argue for reparations for others or themselves, but for you, refuse. Now, I know there's some reparation things going on around talk and so forth, but that's just what it is, and that's all it's going to be. In fact, I would venture to say, if we don't
deal with reparations collectively, not one segment. That's why I was in such disdain and rejection of ADOS. Haven't heard from them in quite a while, but, you know, definitely. Because number one, if we're talking about repair, we must talk about repair from a global perspective. We must talk about the repair, the reparations that the Europeans owe us, whether you're Europeans here or the Spanish in Central and South America or the Caucasians here, the Canadians, the French, whoever, all of them, the Belgians, all of them. And we fight for them collectively because that is part of what we use to rebuild and to repair ourselves, because that's what reparations mean, to repair. Not just your ass got $20,000, $30,000. That's why that Caucasian many years ago, and I mentioned it many times on this program, Charles Kottheimer, who was a editorialist, I believe in New York Times or Washington Post. I believe he worked for one of the other, or either both at one time. I can't remember when I read the article he wrote. This was in the late 70s. He said, we should give them reparations. We've given them welfare. We've given them affirmative action. Other social programs, we should give them welfare. Because of the minds that they have right now, it'd be like a stimulus package. They'd be going out buying Cadillacs and diamonds and furs, and we'd get that money right back. And then at that moment, we tell them, we've given you everything. Don't ask for another damn thing. And if we discriminate against you, if you can prove it, fine. If you can't, shut up. And there are no more class actions. The onus is on you. We don't give you everything. We done paid for those sins. And now we do what the hell we want. Because you're not going to pull that money together to build institutions. You're not going to build any schools, independent schools. You're not going to build any factories that would compete with us in manufacturing and so forth. And, of course, at that time, manufacturing was still happening in the 70s, mid-70s, late 70s. It began to change in the 80s. Places started closing up, moving to other parts of the world, particularly to Caribbean, particularly to Mexico. In fact, back in the 90s, I visited what was called a maquiladora, which is a U.S. company that gets land from Mexico, and they build a factory and have Mexico workers to exploit cheap labor. So the Mexican workers, now, at that time, they were making more than regular Mexican workers in these maquiladoras, like a dollar and a half or something like that. I don't know. I knew that in that discussion, they were making more, you know. And one of the places we visited was Japanese. They were making parts for televisions, you know. But my point is, you know, they take advantage of whatever they can take advantage of. That's what they do. And they truly have taken advantage of us. And so, no, brothers and sisters, we need to repair ourselves. This is not just, now I understand there have been some people who have been impoverished for generations, and I feel that, and I feel for them, that have been on welfare for generations, that have been, you know, on the dole for generations. I feel for them, you know. But it's not about the economics of America. It is establishing an economics for us. Taking that money, pulling that together from all those other entities and establishing on the continent. You can't do it here. We cannot be independent. We cannot be, we cannot be self-determining. We cannot be liberated. We cannot be sovereign here. Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at Rosewood. Look at Elaine, Arkansas. Look at Tulsa. Look at the Haight Heights community. Look at a community in your neighborhood that had a nice community of brothers and sisters from the 50s, 40s, and so forth. They're up until the 80s when model cities came in and they moved those expressways, came right through our neighborhoods and destroyed them. They're, correct me if I'm wrong. If what I'm saying is wrong, please give me a call at 414-324-5796 or call me right now on our call-in number at 215-490-9832 and tell me there is a community that is independent. I ain't talking about like the village in South Carolina and a few other places like Pinewood. No. They still pay taxes. They're still on the grid. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, is there a independent, self-sustaining community that is ours that doesn't rely on the United States? Because, see, understand something. That can happen here. The United States understands that we have eminent domain. That's why they have treated the indigenous people the way they have. If there was some land that showed some promise for some mineral or whatever, and they had initially put the indigenous people there, they'd move them. They'd move them. If it had oil, they'd move them. If it had other minerals, they'd move them. I saw a piece on indigenous people on Nightline is running this series on what is the unjust and other issues affecting people of color, you know, that Europeans have done, you know. So one of the segments was on indigenous people. They have a number of pieces on Nightline. I don't know how you can get Nightline if you stay up, because Nightline going to come on to like about 12:40. 12:30, whatever, 12:40 or later, you know, depends. But if you have streaming, you can probably catch Nightline, and they've been running a whole nice piece on that. But anyway, no, you cannot. There is no place. There is no place here in America that is possible. I know we would love for that to happen. I know we do. I know y'all. But it ain't happening. And it ain't gonna happen. You know, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And let's talk about this. We talked earlier about the Pan-African Federalist Movement and the conference coming up. And like I said, we'll have some principles of the movement in to talk about it probably next week. Next week is the 9th. Yeah. Next week, the 9th, next Friday, because the following weekend is the conference. And so we'll have some people coming in to talk about it and prepare for that. And we'll continue to push and promote that. I like that piece that the brother Amstada put out that I played for you. I think that's an excellent piece. I'll consistently play that, because what it's saying is that Marcus Garvey called for it. Kwame Nkrumah called for it. Malcolm X called for it. Any leader of real worth and understanding and vision, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, Idi Amin Dada, all of these men and women who understood that it ain't about here in America. It ain't about the damn Caribbean. Caribbean is a playground for Caucasians. We just happen to be there in mass. Whether it's Barbados, whether it's Trinidad and Tobago, they still running it. Now, I know Barbados said we're going to diss the queen. All of them should do it. Should have been done. It should have been done. But we're going to diss the queen, you know. But some of them still rely on Europeans for resources.
And of course, the Europeans rely on them for resources. There has to come a time, dear brothers and sisters, and I hope the time is approaching fast. I'd love to see it, or I'd love to see it, the movement in that direction, even if I can't, even if I expire tomorrow. Well, hopefully, maybe even if I expire in 10, 20 years from now, or even more, but hopefully that it moves in that direction. It's a damn shame, because I don't see it moving in that direction at this moment, particularly with us here. Because we still believe that voting will change the dynamic for us. We still believe that there are Caucasians who can truly have our interests at heart and will be fair and be honest and will be willing to share. Stop it. Stop it, please. And just because we do have a few black faces in high places, it doesn't mean a damn thing. We have some billionaires, and I know that piece talked about the billionaires and millionaires, and many of them want to continue to be that. So now they're not really revolutionary with their resources in terms of saying, hey, I'm going to fund, you know, independent things for African people. No, they're not going to do it. If there are some, I'm quite sure they're going to do it, you know, clandestinely, quietly. They don't want it to be visible. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yeah, I just was able to tune back then. What was you talking about?
I was talking about what Donald Trump is proposing with the patriotic curriculum, because he doesn't want.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point that all of that, you know, whether we like it or not, so damn what? Because it ain't about that, you know, just because now we have the ability to make sure that they talk about our situation doesn't mean there's going to be a fundamental change in the behavior and attitude of Caucasians. It never has been, and it never will be.
Well, true.
You know,
are they gonna tell the truth?
Right.
Are they gonna tell the truth about it? I mean, that's just not something that they do, right. Especially in regards to history. I mean, you know, if they told the truth about the history and the things that they've done, how could anybody ever call them a civilized people?
Right.
Or how could anybody ever take them serious?
Right.
I mean, you know,
they can't.
So, I mean, it becomes one of those things to where you just got to pay that sugar, honey, iced tea, no mind, man. Because the one thing the cracker will do is he will lie about history like no other. Mm-hmm. He'll make it seem as though he's never done nobody wrong. He's never done nothing wrong. And that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the hypocrisy that's constantly at play when you're dealing with these white folks. You know what I mean? But they're so pathological that, you know, one has to constantly ask themselves, you know, what do you really expect from this devil?
Well, see, that's our problem. We've been trained to believe that there is something to be expected from them because we can appeal to them morally. We can appeal to them righteously. You see,
they are moral. There's no morality in the nature of the white man or his behavior. He's proven that to you every chance he's got. He's the most immoral thing on the planet. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, the unfortunate thing, Brother O, is we know this, but we just choose not to accept it because, as one would say, he's a white man.
Yeah.
But he's a devil. Has he ever not been the devil when it come down to any other people on the planet? No. He's always been the devil. And, you know, he's going to continuous me be the devil because he benefits from being the devil. You know, the white man don't benefit from being a decent human being, as one would say.
Well, see, that's the thing, Jay. They have people bamboozled because, number one, they have the control of theology. They have control of monetary wealth. They have control.
Yep. I mean,
they have so much control. And so they'll put images out there, put narratives out there to glorify them, to make them look good. And then you,
yep,
of course, if you don't understand that history, then you might believe that BS, you see.
There you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was that song by Stevie? I think it was Superstition.
That's right.
It was one of his cuts.
When you believe in things you don't understand, what do?
Yep.
You suffer.
And think about it. Think about Oshi. Stevie wrote that like 40 years ago.
Yeah. That great visionary.
You know, but think about it, he wrote that 40 years ago, and if you had to be honest, is it not applicable today?
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy. Nothing is supposed to be as relevant and applicable 40 years later if it's evil. Nah, man. If it's a just world, the world is not supposed to have that type of madness continue. But the way the white man has destroyed the world, all evil things stay in play forever because of what they do to control their position. And here it is, every time you turn around, the Negro trying to get closer to this dog.
And see, the thing is,
live around the dog, eat next to the dog, sleep with the dog, go to the school of the dog. Everything that the white man has and represents, 90% of the Negroes in America want it.
Exactly. Let me catch another caller.
If you become rich, you're gonna run to it. How many black people you know in this present day that gains any sort of wealth try to build up the black community? All they do is give you little
That's
tokens
right.
And
That's
crumbs.
Right. That's right.
But they always trying to be closer to that no good, filthy, stinking, disease written ball of syphilitic pus.
Because, listen, they feel, once again, this is just as much ours as it is theirs, and we're tied to that. And they believe, just like some have said, well, we didn't, you know, we didn't come on different boats, but we in the same boat now, or some old cliche that they use. Let me catch this caller. Caller, UK, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother Ochi. Thank you for taking my call. I know you haven't got much time, so I'm going to be quick. Brother Ochi, I remember we had that conversation about Donald, Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, as Brother X puts it. and we came to the conclusion that Trump is a fascist.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But one thing, brother Ochi, on both sides, I think it's the Senate, on both sides of the Senate, you know they've got the fascist symbols there. You know that, don't you?
Right.
And if you go online, right, you will see over 60% of the office, the police organization have the fascist symbol on their badges. What does that tell you? That tells you that the whole system has been set up under fascism. And where does fascism come from? Fascism was the system of the Romans.
Yep.
Well, you've copied the system of the Romans. You have the Senate. That's from Rome. Mm-hmm. Everything, the whole system is based on Rome. So why should you be surprised that you've got a fascist expressing himself in a fascist system? You see, this is the thing, but I'm just going to say this. I don't think we're looking at the rules of the game. We're talking about the players. It's like you watch your football and you're concentrating on the player. If you take that player out, they'll replace him. You think it would have made much difference if they had Hillary Clinton in power? You think they would have been much different?
No, it would not. No, it would not. It would not be any difference. Well, no, it wouldn't. But all our people believe that it would. But no, it wouldn't, because it was the same thing under Clinton. It's the same thing under Barack.
You know why they believe it was? Because they're the spectators. They're watching the game. But what we got to do is take over the game. We got to be the CEOs of the game. We got to make the rules of the game. And until the CEOs are making the rules of the game, it's pointless talking about the players, because they just substitute the players and transfer the players. And we're just the spectators watching the game. And that's what the problem we have. And the other thing I'd like to say, Brother Ochi, is that this system is a worldwide system. It's a system. It's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And until we can overthrow that system, we're going to be singing the same song. Brother Ochi, keep up the good work and keep the fire burning, you know, and thank you for giving me the time.
Always, Brother Paul. Peace to you. Have a good weekend, man. You be safe there in the UK, man. Peace. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, it's a worldwide system. It's global.
Hey, it's supposed to be the worldwide system based on those being the dominant force with the dominant position. I mean, you know, I always wonder when people come under the auspice that white people got to treat you a certain way. The only way white people going to treat you a certain way is if you make them treat you a certain way. I'm not going to take my foot off of your neck if I got my foot on your neck for a reason.
Right.
Until you make me take it off. So whereby white people just act and behave the way that they're accustomed to acting and behaving towards us. You're not going to change the white man's treatment of you until you kill him. It's that plain and simple.
See,
there's nothing that you can do.
Let me see.
To make the white man change his behavior towards you without putting him to death.
Well, let me just
There's
say this,
no
Jay.
Thing about getting along.
Let me say this, Jay. I believe that, you know, and rescue me if I'm wrong, because I know what you're saying. But the reality, any kind of armed struggle against Europeans at this moment is suicidal. You know. In fact, I've always said, and I know you've listened to this program, I've always said, what Europeans have always done is found a better way to kill your ass. And they continue to do so in various methods.
But they're supposed to, though.
Exactly.
Why do people have this problem with white folks acting like white folks and doing what they do? They're supposed to do it. They're not supposed to try to make amends, try to give us reparations, try to treat us in any other way than they do as their personal servants.
And see, what I'm saying, so Jay, what I'm saying is that, and I just said it a while ago at the beginning of this top of the hour, that we need an exodus. We need to get our ass up out of this. We need to just leave him alone. Give him his stuff. Depart. Leave him alone. We're going to come back to deal with reparations. But first, we're going to get away from their ass. Not ask for
nothing.
I don't
even know why people talk about reparations, to be honest with you. White man ain't going to give your black ass no reparations.
Let me say this.
And you haven't placed yourself in a position to make him give it to you if the truth be told.
And see,
you know what I mean? These people are playing with us, man. I mean, come on.
And
seriously, you think this white man going to give us reparations, honestly?
Now, let me say this, Jay. Because of how the European is, he's very manipulative. He'll play one against the other. So, just like, that's why I hated what Ados was trying to do, because it's being divisive. And one thing for sure that Europeans want to do is take advantage of any divisions within a people. Okay? So, I don't look for reparations for individuals. I don't care if you don't get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a person or a family, none of that BS. What I'm looking at, this is why I'm saying, when we come strong, when we come collective, then we go after Europeans, America, Europe, those nations, Australia, wherever, Spain, whatever, and we get reparations that way to help repair us. We get machinery in concert, whatever it might be. But we first have to separate. We first have to come together, close ranks, and pull our resources and do for ourselves. Get them crackers off the continent. Get them Chinese off the continent. Get them damn Indians off the continent. Get them Korean, whoever. Get them off and let us build for ourselves. Let brothers and sisters who have resources, who have abilities, who have knowledge, come on the continent and build the infrastructure that we so desperately need.
The only way you do that, Oshie is like Mao did. You got to start.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm
yes.
saying? He's not going to say, all right, Negroes, we'll leave you alone.
No, listen. No, listen.
And everything will be all right. No, he'll have his facilitators there, his gatekeepers there, his overseers there. Now, you got to go in there and start wreaking havoc, start killing people.
Let me say this to you, Jay, and I understand that, and I agree to extend on that. What also could happen to say to those, get your ass out of here then. Take your ass to Europe. Go to England. Go to France. Take your ass to the States.
You don't look over you know? These crackers. What's wrong with you, man? You know? Do you know we Americans, they haven't talked about this in the media, but you know Americans can't leave here and go to other countries?
I know, because of Corona. They can't.
But you notice how they're not saying that in the media?
Yeah. No, nobody wants this because... They don't know if you got it in there and bad enough as it is. So international travel of Americans at this time is restricted, seriously restricted, you know.
Long restricted.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind, in all honesty, would want a cracker in their country? There's no place on the earth, where any people of color have been living amongst themselves in peace and harmony, that the white man hasn't come in there and effed it all up, raped the women, stole the land, enslaved the people, just absolutely effed it all up. So if you know that, why would you ever want to have a goddamn white man come to your house?
Yeah.
That's like me. I don't even want them in my house. I'll be upset when somebody say we delivering something and there's a cracker there. I tell them, no, I'll leave it outside the door. I'll pull it in.
But see,
I don't want that devil in my damn house.
But see, Jay.
And you know, I'm almost at the point where I don't want a Babalooey in there either.
Hey, those are brown-skinned brothers. Yeah, right.
Hey, they more treacherous than the white man.
Yeah, hey.
Some of them.
Hey, in fact.
Some of them are more evil and treacherous than
Jay,
the white man.
Jay, in fact, the leader of the Proud Boys is Puerto Rican.
Nah, you lying.
No, look it up, man. The leader of the Proud Boys.
I don't entertain stuff like that.
Because when they showed a picture of the dude.
If he's a Babalooey, that tells you it all, man. That tells
the leader
you
of the Proud Boys.
They'll use them to do what at some point they can't do. See, because white folks can't just blatantly come out here and do their thing. They would need somebody like a Babalooey to be the front of it, to say, well, we're not racist, we're not this,
yeah.
not hey, we, and now mind you, they may even have a Clayton Bigsby in there. You know who Clayton Bigsby is, right?
No.
Clayton Bigsby is the character that David Chappelle had on the Chappelle show that was the KKK.
Yeah, he was blind.
That's Clayton Bigsby.
Okay, he was blind,
So they may have a Clayton Bigsby.
Well,
you know?
Who is Cameron from Louisville, the Attorney General? That's who he is.
Oh, man.
That's who he is.
He's what you call...
Oh yeah, he's
shameful.
Oh man, because he's about to be—he is exposed.
Today.
He's exposed.
But this is the funny thing. Oh, because I know you got to get ready to go.
Yeah.
He was put in the office by you know who, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Black folk.
Yeah.
So that shows the mental sickness of some of us that we would think that just because this is a black man that he's worthy of having his black ass.
He's married.
You,
he's married.
See what he do to you.
He's married to Mitch McConnell's niece. He has pictures of Mitch McConnell.
I think it's his granddaughter.
Is that who he is? Whoever it is.
Well, whoever,
but listen, I got to go.
Whoever it is, think about who he married to.
Yep.
To a filthy, stinking, slimy, syphilitic.
Okay, Jay.
No. I got to get that quote that Khalid.
Oh, Colin, Colin, man. Yeah.
That was a beauty, man. And the funny thing was, when he did it, I was at one of his lectures. out there in Brooklyn at the Slave Theater, and he ripped it. Oh man, that was a beautiful,
love Colin.
Colin was no joke.
No, love him, love him.
But hope you
all right,
have
my brother.
A good weekend to okay. you and the audience. And remember, if you could get away with beheading and using the burning neck tie on the Yorugu, do it.
I hear you.
God will bless you.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day, a great weekend. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivihorie. Bivihorie is our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed weekend. Peace, family.